Well, good afternoon. This is Brother Anthony Baker, the pastor at Riverside Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And we are excited that you have taken the time to join with us on the Voice from the River radio broadcast on WFLI. And if you are a regular listener, you know that I'm not the only preacher on this radio program, but I've been on here for a while, at least for the last few weeks, because Brother Paul Wheeler has been sick. And we just ask that you would keep him in your prayers, that God will bless him and his family and raise him back up so they can be back on this radio program, which he started. I'm his pastor, and he asked me to come in and fill in for him every once in a while, and it seems like I've been doing it a lot recently. So I'm not the only one that's a part of this, but he started it, and we just ask that you would keep him in your prayers. Also, we're not having Sunday evening services simply because today was our fifth Sunday singing, where we had a time of worship in the morning and then fellowship in the afternoon. So we're not having services this evening, but I would encourage you to go somewhere. We're going to be going somewhere. Not that God's keeping brownie points, but simply because we need that fellowship, and it's encouraging to be with other people that love the Lord. That gives us strength to make it through the week. And who knows, maybe wherever you go, you'll be an encouragement to someone else, and maybe God will have something for you that you were just totally unexpecting. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless this time. God, we thank You again for this time that You've given us to share Your Word, and we just ask that You would use it and use me, Lord, as I speak to say the right things that would encourage those that are listening, and including myself. I need the encouragement too, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have a Bible handy? If you do, turn to the book of 1 Timothy, and chapter 3 is where we're going to begin. 1 Timothy is one of two letters that was written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, his son in the faith. He's referred to as young Timothy, or a young man, young pastor, young preacher. There's probably not much anything younger about him than a lot of us today, except that he was just younger in the faith than Paul. And in one verse of Scripture, Paul says, "Don't let anybody despise your youth." That's in chapter 4, verse 12. Other than that, I'm sure Timothy was probably more mature in the faith than many of us today. I would probably say, including myself, because Paul thought him worthy to pastor the church at Ephesus. That's where he was placed. And so Paul was writing a letter to him to encourage him in the task that he had, the work that he had to in this church that he was pastoring. He had a hard time. Paul knew he was going to have a tough time. And so Paul knew Timothy was struggling, and so Paul wrote a letter of encouragement, and that is what we have here. And in this letter, he mentions to Timothy about the bishop, the pastor, the man who is to lead the flock of God. And Timothy was obviously, in the first part of the letter, Paul is addressing how that Timothy was dealing with people who wanted to be bishops, who wanted to be overseers, who wanted to be pastors in the church. But possibly, if you read it, say in verse 4 and on down, we get the idea possibly that maybe some of them thought that they had a birthright to it, much like the priests had. And so the Christians were thinking that they could be pastors and preachers simply because their daddies were, essentially. But Paul addresses that and says, no, that's not the case. But he also says that if any man desires the work of a bishop, he desires a good thing. And he says, and if they do want to be a bishop, if they do want to be a pastor, a leader in the church, there are some things that you need to know, some things that you need to keep in mind. And Timothy, I want you to share this and teach this to these men. Now, I do say men because it is very clear here that women are not to be pastors in the church. I'm not a sexist. I'm not a bigot in any way towards women. That's just what Scripture says here, and I hope that I don't offend too many people. But besides that, we're talking about the men that lead the church here. And he gives Timothy several instructions about what it means to be a bishop. And I just want to give four things here that I see in the Scripture that we should apply to ourselves, and that if you're listening and you are a preacher, to keep in mind. Now, if you're not a preacher, if you're not a pastor, if you're not the bishop of a church, the shepherd, under-shepherd, whatever word you want to use, still listen anyway, because you need to know how to hold your pastor accountable, and you need to know many of these truths hold true for every one of us, no matter what position we are in. So the first thing is that a bishop should desire the work of a bishop. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position or the work of a bishop, he desires a good work." I've heard it said so many times by men that they ran and ran and ran from the ministry. I'm not doubting them, but I believe that there's a lot of people that ran and ran because they did not have a desire, and then maybe they found out later that they couldn't do anything else, and so they decided to give preaching a try. That's a wrong approach. Personally, folks, when I was called to preach, when God put it a burden on my heart, I tried to find everything else in the world to do besides that because I didn't think worthy, but I really wanted to. I wanted to preach, and because my dad had been a pastor, my dad discouraged me for the first part so that I wouldn't be doing it in order to, follow in his footsteps. He didn't want me to be daddy called. He wanted me to be God called. But once I decided that there was no way I could stop it, it was what was on my heart, that's what I did. And I've never changed my mind. I've always loved preaching and teaching the word. That's what I feel God has called me to do. And so it's a good thing to desire to be a bishop. It's to desire the work of the Lord is a great thing. And I believe that is should be considered one of the prerequisites of ministry. If you don't desire it, you don't want to do it, don't do it. It's a hard, hard job. It's a great burden to be doing something like this, and especially if you don't want to. Secondly, we need to demonstrate it. Not only do we need to desire the work of the Lord, but we need to demonstrate what it means to be a bishop. You see here in the verse 2, it says, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior." Goes all the way down through verse 7, giving qualifications of what a bishop should be. Some of these things, folks, I think we've forgotten, and our pastors are participating in the opposite. Good behavior. Folks, if your pastor is a jerk, you need to talk to him. Pastor's not gentle, but he's always looking to get in some sort of argument and fight. He needs to be reconsidering his calling, or he needs to get his heart right. There are some things here that we need to take into consideration, that as men of God, people are watching us, and we have to behave like God has called us to behave. Not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. What a sad situation it is when you have a pastor who gets behind the pulpit and preaches, but his family's a wreck. His kids don't obey. They run around like hoodlums all the time, and everybody knows them. The preacher's kids are the ones with the worst reputation sometimes. That is absolutely a bad thing. That does not need to be. And a pastor needs to get control of his family so that people don't speak ill of the church and him. And then thirdly, we need to dive into it. God has called you into the ministry. Guys, take it seriously. Verse 14 of chapter 4, look at verse 13. He says, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all." There's nothing wrong with pursuing additional education. There's nothing wrong with advancing yourself within the ministry by trying to learn, by trying to apply yourself. I've heard it said by so many people in the past. They said that, you know, you don't need to go to seminary. It's called a cemetery, they call it. That's a bunch of hogwash. There's a lot of guys out there that think that if you're educated, that's a bad thing. That if you go to Bible school, that's a bad thing. Folks, if you got a pastor that believes that way, you've probably got a pastor that doesn't know what he's preaching. You might need to leave that church because he could be preaching heresy because he doesn't know God's word. The last thing you want to have is a pastor up there preaching to you that has never even studied, that thinks that God's just going to miraculously give him a message without him ever even opening the word, without getting into the teaching of the word through in-depth study. you know, you got people like some of these big televangelists that inherit ministries that have never even studied God's word, but they just get up there and apply their good speaking skills just to keep people happy. Folks, that's a shame. If you're a preacher, if you're a pastor, dive into the study of God's word. He said, meditate on it. Give yourself entirely to it, that your progress may be evident to all. People need your study. They depend on that, because many people don't have the time or the ability to study out and to flesh out the deep things of God's word that you preach to them. So don't be ashamed to ask for the time and to take the time to study. Matter of fact, that's one of the things that the apostles had to deal with in the early church, because they were being called on to do all the table waiting and all that type of stuff. And they said, look, let's get the deacons, these men who are qualified to take care of certain issues within the church, so that we can devote our times to prayer and study. Study. Show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Dive into it. And then fourthly, lastly, defend it. In verse 16 of chapter 4, he says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. In verse 20 of chapter 6, he says, O Timothy, guard what was committed to you in your trust. We need to be careful what we're preaching. We need to guard it, because things are going to come along. We're going to be tempted to be shallow. We're going to be tempted to teach feel-good Christianity. We're going to be tempted to believe error, just like in chapter 6. We see here that there are those who preach that godliness is gain. Let me tell you, if there's people out there that are preaching that in your church, you need to make sure that they're right with God, because this is a whole another message. I'm running out of time. There are pastors out there. There are preachers. There are preachers on television. I could name names, but I probably shouldn't at the moment, that are teaching that just have faith, speak it, be like God, speak it, it'll come into existence for you, and the evidence that you're right with God will be shown through your health and your wealth and so on and so forth. That's a bunch of baloney also. That has no basis in Scripture, and I will stand toe-to-toe and argue with anybody over that one. That's no evidence for a godliness. As a matter of fact, verse 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Folks, being a pastor is a heavy, heavy responsibility, and we're also going to be tempted. That's why we have to defend what we do by studying and praying, spending time with God. We're going to be tempted to get away from the main thing. In verse 20, in the last chapter, he says, Timothy, guard that was what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. There's going to come a time when we're tempted to just get off into things that don't matter much and getting away from the true gospel. Don't do that either. Guard your doctrine. Well, I'm about out of time, and I'm going to have to get back with you the next time I preach. Maybe we'll go over some of these things in more depth. But as a man of God, keep these things in mind, and God will use you and bless you, and he'll grow your congregation, and they will appreciate you for your faithfulness. God bless you, and we look forward to being with you next week.